You're listening to Third Eye Talks, a podcast for the spiritual junkie, with your host, certified life and spiritual coach, Naz Rose.
Hello, beautiful listeners. Welcome back to Third Eye Talks. Today, it is me and an incredible guest that I'm so excited to have on the show. For those of you tuning in for the first time, I am the creator and host of the Third Eye Talks podcast. My name is Naz De La Rosa, and I am a certified life and spiritual coach, author, and proud, like I said, creator and host of this show. And today joining me is Nek Bet, who is a body and energy worker, and her company is Soul Tree Health. And the topic that we have for you today is just going to get your brain bubbling. So hi, Nek Bet.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I am so excited to connect with you. And this episode came about from something that you posted on Instagram. I follow you on Instagram, and I love your content. You're always so honest, and you always have get my brain moving about topics. And so I appreciate everything that you put out. And something that you posted really, you know, lit my brain on fire. And I was like, I have to have her on the podcast to talk about this, because I do feel that this is so important. And so the post was about how modern spirituality essentially ignores or leaves out practices that originated in Africa, even though they are used in modern spirituality, they do not credit the original, where it originated. And so I wanted to talk to you, bring you on and talk a little bit about that, because I completely agree with that. I think spirituality, it has become so much, you know, love and light, and you know, everything is beautiful, and you know, just keep it all positive, and it villainizes a lot of practices that did originate in Africa that are just as beautiful, so powerful. So talk to me a little bit about that. What prompted you to share that? What was the idea behind sharing it?
First, I want to say thank you so much for inviting me and giving the opportunity to have this conversation, because I definitely think that it's needed. But the post, so naturally I am a Black woman in America, and I am a spiritualist, a priestess, and I have found that through my own personal growth in that, I have been demonized, you know, by family members, just people, you know, onlookers, as I have gotten deeper into my practice and what it means for me to identify myself in that spirituality, because it's non-traditional. And so when I saw the post, it was a post from someone else. When I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, like, that is very much true, when there are so many wonderful healing systems and modalities that come out of Africa that are either not recognized, are like kind of watered down, or not really given authentic representation. And I think it's very important to not be so othered and be able mm-hmm. to have a voice and stand firm in like what our cultures give to society as a whole.
I agree. I agree with that. Tell me a little bit about, because you said you traversed this journey that got you to where you are today. What are some of the things that you grew into that you're practicing now that you embraced? What was that journey like for you? Like, I know it's been a long journey, but tell me a little bit about that, from where you started and where you are now.
Yeah. So I've always been a seeker. So I was always questioning spirituality or religion. We'll say religion first. And thankfully I have a mother that allowed me to, or gave me space, shall I say, to kind of play with that and figure it out on my own. But from about the time that I was 17, I was really questioning, like, who is God? What is God to me? And like, how do I have a relationship with that? And I do not knock Christianity. It has a space, but it did not resonate with me. Even though I grew up Baptist, it didn't resonate with me going to church. And then I went through Buddhism. I practiced that for about 6 years. And that was really a wonderful experience in understanding words of power and what it means to chant and to focus your mentality and to in with positivity and to have a collective group around you that were focused on the same pluses. And there was no judgment. Everyone was so nice. It kind of freaked me out at first. And you know, I was like, wow, everybody's like, hi. I'm like, what is going on? But then from there, I think that I was looking for something deeper, you know, something more personal. Not to say that Buddhism is not, but I was, you know, I think something more was calling me. And I stopped practicing and I started to kind of do my own thing, working with like personal altars, whatever that felt like, and just asking, like, show me where I should go. And then I began to find teachers that looked like me, that practice Kemeticism, because that's what I practice, is a Kemetic, if you want to say esoteric lifestyle that has blessed me in so many ways and just opened me up to many things, not just within my culture, but within other cultures too. And I think as far as my family or others seeing me, you know, people don't know what you're doing. They see one, okay, what's she doing now? And what's this, you know? And you kind of have to stand. I've had to stand and trust in myself to go through that conversation with God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say that it sounds like that journey probably had you constantly having to not explain yourself, but just you had to go probably from a space of worrying about what people were going to say into a space where you were like, this is me, this is my identity, and I'm not going to question myself. So I love that.
Just that.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just that.
I love that. So, and in that journey, did you at any point like feel shame or question, like, why am I feeling ashamed to take on these things and to embrace my, yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
I definitely felt ashamed at first because I have a connection to our families, you know, and in as much as we try different things, it's something that, you know, you love your family and you don't want them to think that you're doing something negative. But you're just finding your own truth, right? And it doesn't change you. It doesn't take away. It's really adding. And, you know, there have been times when like it's been, and I was very sensitive when I was younger too. So it kind of made like this big poopy soup of me being like, but you know, you should, I guess the idea that your family, that they grow up around you and with you, and that the feeling of the fact that you are not trusted to make positive decisions hurts, you know? Yeah. And so at some point I had to remove the core belief system of my family from me and create my own.
And do you think that shame that, or that questioning that they did about your journey was because you were going from a traditional religion into practices that resonated with your like ancestry? Do you think that that shame came, like if you had gone from the religion that you practice now, or the practice that you have now, spiritual practice, into becoming a Baptist or becoming a Catholic or going back into a traditional religion, do you think the journey would have been different for you?
I think so. I think if I reverted back into Christianity, my family probably would be very, you know, like, you know, yeah, come away from that demonic, that devil, you know, and that kind of stuff. So I do think that it probably would be more accepted, because Christianity is such a global accepted spiritual space that anything that negates it appears to be against it, or, you know, I guess like anti, but it's not.
Yeah. So why do you think that is? Why do you feel that some of these practices, like we originally talked about, that come from Africa are demonized. Well, why do you think that happens?
I definitely feel and know that colonization, and the displacement of Africans from the continent, and some people question if we were already here or not, you know, I don't know if you've heard that, but from the continent brought over, that removal of identity of culture and the presentation that it's demonic to practice what's natural to us, being connected to nature and understanding the cosmos and understanding what plants to use to heal, definitely have created a sense of detachment, and we can no longer identify, you know, something that I know for a fact my ancestors practiced, and I'm not speaking about the 400, you know, years ago. I'm thinking prior.
In terms of how modern spirituality, because I want to bring it to present day, right? Spirituality, what are some of the things that we do that we don't even realize are or have originated in some of these practices or religions that we consider to be quote unquote demonic? Can you talk a little bit about that?
I think that number one, just the honoring of the moon phases, number one, and the honoring of even the sun phases and the natural cycles of Earth are definitely seem as demonic. And you know, I know that moon rituals, they seem to be pagan, but it also is very African because the continent is open and the stars are visible. And there's a specific tribe called the Dogon, and they identified Sirius A, B, and C. They already were aware of it. And so scientifically it became, you know, it came into science at some point that those existed. But just the identification of the cosmos, astrology, zodiac that we do every day. A lot of people, even though, you know, they may secretly follow the zodiac, they could say, oh, you know, that's evil and that's the devil. Well, whatever the concept of the devil is, I don't, you know, even the concept of the devil is not accurate, you know, from an African standpoint. So there are a lot of small intricacies and big ones too that are practiced every day that we use that can be seen as African or stemmed from that.
I love that. So one of the things that I've noticed is that when I talk, you know, I have a lot of clients. I grew up in South Florida, and a lot of my clients are South Floridians. They're Miamians, Cubans, and a lot of them practice, you know, Santeria. And I have clients who also practice voodoo, right? There's a large population of Haitians in South Florida. And one of the things that I noticed and the difference between them and my clients who don't practice those African originated religions is the shame around wanting to keep their practice a secret, right? They don't really want to tell people about it, or they'll initially, when they start working with me, they hide their altars, or they're like, you know, they won't show it to me. And over time, they get comfortable. They understand, you know, how open I am. So they'll be like, I'm sorry, you know, I'm just gonna go over here. My altar will be behind me. I'm like, it's fine, you know, like everything is beautiful here. Everything is accepted. So my question for you is, can you, or my something I would love to ask you is, can you give some words of advice to a listener who might be on right now and wants to know, maybe they're just starting their journey, or they're starting to like embrace, you know, something new. How do they release or start to deal with that initial shame that comes from, you know, their practice?
Yes. Okay. So again, I love this question, and I love Santeria, and I love voodoo too. And I do know that, again, with Santeria, there's a cross duality there because there's representation through Catholicism and Christianity because of the fact that it had to be hidden because we could not openly practice our traditions in moments of enslavement or whatever. And then as far as Voodoo, they just kind of took over with the Haitian Revolution and using that that energy to defeat those that were coming into their territory. But I do feel that understanding that altars need to be protected, or certain things do need to be kept sacred and hidden and gatekept. There should be no shame in where we come from, because there's so much there's so much strength in our narrative of being able to reinvent ourselves through these practices. And again, I feel the louder that we are and the more proud we are outside visibly, the louder our ancestors hear us and they come to us. They're working with us at all times. So I do understand that there's cognitive dissonance with family and being taught that who we are is a blemish, but there's nothing more beautiful than knowing that we can stand strongly collectively in ourselves and see how we've affected over time every culture, through that middle passage from from Santeria, from Voodoo, from Hoodoo, right, which is brought into the Americas, the North Americas, from Ifa, from Candomblé, from Palo. All of those Kemeticism are wonderful branches of one big tree of who we are. And I do understand where maybe certain people you don't want to share because we don't know what energies they hold, but we should openly feel proud to practice just as much as anyone else is open to be Christian or practice the Islamic faith or practice Hinduism or practice the Judaic faith. We should be able to take up as much space as well.
I love that. I love that. Say it again for
The
the back. Take up space. Yes, take up space. So I love what you mentioned about you should be able to feel open to do, to embrace who you are. Do you think that embracing some of these sides of your culture, of your ancestry, that they allow you to be more confident, more authentic? Like, what has that journey of authenticity been for you as you've embraced this part of yourself?
Yes, I love that question too. So I'm thinking about the principle of Sankofa, right? And that talks about going back to retrieve something, the idea that if you know where you're going, you have to know where you've been. And I do feel that there is, in the mindset of like decolonizing practices and spirituality, there is a reclamation of it as well. When we are able to own our narratives, no one can control them. When we are able to speak out loud our history and where we come from and our backgrounds and not have our voices quiver, or they may quiver a little bit, no one can tell our truth. If we know our truth, no one else can come with a lie and cover it up as a truth. So I feel extremely empowered over the years. I have become very empowered to be comfortable in my skin, in my blackness as a spectrum of a brown. I feel confidence to be in a room of people where I might appear to be the minority, still not have to code switch. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel comfortable in being able to wear not just my spiritual practice, but my culture proudly. And I recognize that the more I do so, the more my ancestors show me how deep it goes. And that just empowers me more.
I love that. I love that. Nekbet, I have loved having you on Third Eye Talks, and I want everybody to get access to your information, where you are, what you're doing. So, where can my listeners connect with you? Where can they find you? And how can they get access to your work?
Yes, right. Well, on Instagram, I know goofy guess. On Instagram, it is Soul Tree, and that is SOL Tree Health LLC. Keeping it simple, that is the name of my website as well, soultreehealth.com. You are more than welcome to email me or shoot me a text message if you just want to leave a good word. If you're in the Cleveland area, I would love to have you join me in some body work and energy work. So yeah.
Love it. Love it. Take advantage if you're in the Cleveland area to connect with Nikma in person, or if you are not following her on Instagram yet, definitely do. She shares so much valuable information. Really, her content is really, really great. So I hope that you will connect with her at Soul Tree Health. I'm also going to drop her links and everything in the show notes for this podcast episode, so you can directly access her website and her Instagram or her social media. So Nikma, thank you so much for having this super honest conversation. I am so glad that something led you down your path and to embrace all of this beautiful energy that you have. And I thank you for being on Third Eye Talks. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Naz.
You're welcome, love.
Thank you for listening to Third Eye Talks, a podcast for the spiritual junkie, brought to you by Believe It Life Coaching. Follow us on Instagram at Believe It Coach, or visit our website for more information, believeitlifecoaching.com.